Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is a 7 at 23. I'm Howard Feldman. Again, early in the week, we started having another conversation that I wanted to look into a little bit more. And that is about our news, and particularly news headlines. News headlines are absolutely fascinating. Now, I might have mentioned this before, but when you write an article, when you write a column, you don't get to choose the headline. So I'll submit my column, let's say, to News 24, Jewish Report, wherever that would be. I don't choose the headline. And sometimes I love the headlines and sometimes I don't. But I do recognize that sometimes they're a lot more powerful than others in terms of getting traction. How does that work? Professor Anton Harber, Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. First of all, I just want to know how you are doing, because it's been a rough week for any South African.
Oh, it's been so frustrating. It's upsetting all our lives. And it's, I think, making us all frustrated and concerned about the future, because it looks so uncertain when something as basic as electricity we can't get right and fix. And there seems so little of a plan to with this. We're all feeling terribly frustrated.
And I think frustrated is the accurate word, because we are prevented, because of the monopoly of Eskom. South Africans are brilliant. We solve all of our problems if we're allowed to. But here's one that we are faced with, but we are not allowed to solve, because government has made it so impossible through their monopoly.
I think that's quite right. I mean, we clearly need some emergency large-scale plan that opens things up, that brings everyone, all sectors, in to creating extra power quickly to solve the problem. In fact, this should have happened 5 years ago. Absolutely. And we find ourselves, as I say, extremely frustrated and deeply concerned about its impact on the economy and our future.
100% right. Talking about the way articles are maybe disseminated, because the headline is what catches our attention. How does that work? How did it come about that the author of the article doesn't generally write the headline?
Well, it's always been part of the production process that you pass your article into a sub-editor who does a word edit and writes a headline. And it's got to be a separate process, because it originates mostly in newspapers, where the headline had to fit a set position. So you couldn't pre-write it because it was written to fill a certain space. Mm-hmm. It's different now that most of it is done on the internet. But what the internet has given us is the capacity to follow exactly how many people move from the headline to read the story, and how many of them stay with the story, read it through, and engage with it. You know, the internet gives us detailed metrics of all of those things, whereas in newspapers, a lot of it was guesswork.
Yeah, because you had no idea who was reading it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we had some ways of getting some idea, and there was research that used to test different headlines. But it was not nearly as sophisticated as the internet allows you to do, because you can get, for example, information of how long people spend on a story, and how far down they read in the story. So it gets very detailed. You're testing not just whether the headline grabs attention, but whether it keeps you going through the story and encourages you to engage in the story, which is what everyone aims for.
Right. And, you know, then we went through this incredibly cheap clickbait, which I think maybe has improved just a little bit now, because we've become a little bit more aware, or maybe I'm a bit more allergic to it. I almost deliberately don't read a headline that feels like I'm being manipulated into reading. But so how does it work? What about a headline works and what doesn't?
Well, this is quite a specialist area, and there are certain rules one learnt and always known that have been reinforced. You're right about clickbait, and I think that's an interesting thing, because the first wave of the internet meant often a very crude, sensational headline to grab your attention. But as readers, we quickly learnt, I think, that if the headline doesn't actually match the story, you lose interest extremely quickly. So clickbait, and in a sense, we learn better how to read it. Mm. But there are certain rules, such as don't ask a question. Right. People want to know answers, not questions.
Right. That's interesting. So we don't want to. So questions don't work.
They're not. They don't attract as much attention because readers. Let me say this: there are no hard and fast rules. So sometimes questions work, but in general, the rule is don't ask a question. People want to know. People want hard facts. Use numbers where you can. Keep the language extremely simple. Is a very clear rule, and it also depends what sort of publication you're working for. When the Daily Sun was launched, their research told them, do not use sort of clever, witty word plays in headlines, because it just a lot of it is lost on second language speakers. That was their research.
Interesting.
And their rules were absolutely simple, straightforward headlines. Whereas you find other publications aimed at different readerships would go for sort of smart word plays and puns and
in other words, know your audience.
Smart jokes.
Know your audience.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's always the rule.
It's a very, very interesting conversation, Professor Anton Harber. Thank you as always, Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression.